If any of you run across a pot of mustard, you hang on to it. It's amazing what mustard'll help down. And look after your mates. And keep out of the way of officers, because they ain't healthy. That's what you learn in the army. The enemy don't really want to fight you, because the enemy is mostly blokes like you who want to go home with all their bits still on. But officers'll get you killed. Scallet looked around at them. There, I said it. And if there's a political amongst you, mister, you can go and tell tales and to hell with you. After a few moments of embarrassed silence, Polly said, What's a political?
Like a spy, only on your own side, said Maledict.
That's right, said Scallet. There's one in every battalion these days snitching on their mates. Get promotion that way, see? Don't want dissent in the ranks, eh? Don't want loose talk about losing battles, right? Which is a load of bloody kludges, because the infantry grumbles all the time. Moaning is part of being a soldier, he sighed. Anyway, there's a bunkhouse out the back. I beats the palliarses regular, so there's probably not too many fleas. Once again, he looked at blank faces. That's straw mattresses to you. Go on, help yourselves. Take what you like. I'm closing up after you've gone anyway. We must be winning now you rattling lads are joining, right?
The clouds had broken when Polly stepped out into the night, and a half-moon filled the world with cold silver and black. The inn opposite was another rubbishy alehouse for selling bad beer to soldiers. It stank of ancient slops even before she opened the door. The sign was flaked and unrecognisable, but she could read the name. The world turned upside down. She pushed open the door. The smell got worse. There were no customers and no sign of Strappy or Jackram, but Polly did see a servant methodically spreading the inn's dirt evenly across the floor with a mop. "Excuse me," she began, and then remembered the socks, raised her voice and tried to sound angry. "Hey, where's the lieutenant?" The servant looked at her and gestured up the stairs with a thumb. There was only one candle alight up there, and she knocked on the nearest door. "Enter." She entered. Lieutenant Blouse was standing in the middle of the floor in his breeches and shirt sleeves, holding a sabre. Polly was no expert in these matters, but she thought she recognised the stylish, flamboyant pose as the one beginners tend to use just before they're stabbed through the heart by a more experienced fighter.
"Ah, Perks, isn't it?" he said, lowering the blade. "Just, limbering up."
"Yes, sir."
"There's some laundry in the bag over there. I expect someone in the inn will do it. What's for supper?"
"I'll check, sir."
"What are the men having?"
"Scubbo, sir," said Polly.
"Possibly with hor—" "Then bring me some, will you? We are at war, after all, and I must show an example to my men," said Blouse, sheathing the sword at the third attempt. "That would be good for morale."
Polly glanced at the table. A book lay open on top of a pile of others. It looked like a manual of swordsmanship, and the page it was open at was page 5. Beside it was a thick-lensed pair of spectacles.
"Are you a reading man, Perks?" said Blouse, closing the book.
Polly hesitated, but then what did Ozzer care?
"A bit, sir," she admitted.
"I suspect I shall have to leave most of these behind," he said. "Do take one if you want it."
He waved a hand at the books. Polly read the titles. The Craft of War, Principles of Engagement, Battle Studies, Tactical Defence.
"All a bit heavy for me, sir," she said. "Thanks all the same."
"Tell me, Perks," said Blouse, "are the recruits in good spirits?"
He gave her a look of apparently genuine concern. He really did have no chin, she noticed. His face just eased its way into his neck without much to disturb it on the way. But his Adam's apple now, that was a champion. It went up and down his neck like a ball on a spring. Polly had been soldiering for only a couple of days, but already an instinct had developed. In summary, it was this. Lie to officers.
"Yes, sir," she said.
"Getting everything they need?"
The aforesaid instinct weighed the chances of them getting anything more than they'd already got as a result of a complaint, and Polly said,
"Yes, sir."
"Of course, it is not up to us to question our orders," said Blouse.
"Wasn't doing so, sir," said Polly, momentarily perplexed.
"Even though at times we might feel—"
the lieutenant began and started again.
"Obviously, warfare is a very volatile thing, and the tide of battle can change in a moment."
"Yes, sir,"
said Polly, still staring. The man had a small spot where his spectacles had rubbed on his nose. The lieutenant seemed to have something on his mind, too.
"Why did you join up, Perks?" he said, groping on the table and finding his spectacles at the third attempt.
He had woollen gloves on with the fingers cut out. "Patriotic duty, sir," said Polly promptly.